clap. Give a hand to him. The Lord just put his name in my heart, so I thought I should say thank you to him. And Pastor Brian, thank you for allowing us to be part of you always. Other churches, nobody is there for us, but you are always there for us. So I want to thank you. I'm hoping and praying that someday he will take us to Israel. That we will have a retreat over there. I know the Lord is working in his heart. So this morning, if you would please turn your Bibles with me to Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. Book of Habakkuk chapter 3, the last chapter of Habakkuk. If you're looking through the Old Testament, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, then you are going the right direction toward Daniel, Hosea, then you will see Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 3, beginning from verse 17 through 19. This message came out of my experience as a pastor for the last 3 years. Habakkuk chapter 3, beginning from verse 17. Habakkuk is informing us, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Look at verse 18. He's saying, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The God is my strength. Verse 19. And he will make my feet like hinds or deer's feet. And he will make me walk upon my high places to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. Let's go to God in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this passage. Speak to our hearts. Remove all types of distractions away from here. Lord, let your spirit guide us and speak to our hearts in Jesus' name. What's the most difficult experience you have had to go through in your life? What even most affected you emotionally? For some, that might be the death of a family member. Or for others, it might be an act of violence committed against you. For several, being ignored, being rejected, or put down by someone you love. And for others, the consequence of a sin you yourself committed. Think back now, what were your thoughts toward God at that difficult time in your life? Did you pray? If so, how? With tears? With anger? Or with a broken and contrite heart? Or were you able to stand in faith triumphantly? That's my title. Standing in faith triumphantly. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 19 that we just read contains the words of great hope and faith in the midst of uncertainties. But we will not be able to understand these verses unless we see the depth of their despair and terror. You see, Habakkuk is writing this prophecy from before Jerusalem is destroyed completely. God used the Babylonians to punish Israel, and they attacked them 3 times. I'll just go through that quickly. The first attack came in 605 BC, and where they came and took Daniel and all his friends and carried them all into captivity. Then the second one came in 597 BC, where he took King Jehoiakim, 10,000 of men, and also the famous person was Prophet Ezekiel. Then the final attack came in 586 BC, where they came and destroyed Jerusalem, conquered them, and took everyone into captivity. And God revealed this whole prophecy, these 3 attacks, 605 BC, 597, 586 BC, to whom? Prophet Habakkuk. He revealed to him ahead of time and through a vision. It is like having a dream of 9/11 before it happened. Isn't that scary? So we do not know whether Habakkuk survived these events and saw everything or died by the hands of the Babylonians. But we do know that Jeremiah, the prophet, experienced the terrors of all the terrors of that time. And he was the only prophet who lived through it and wrote about what he saw. It's been said that King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon surrounded the city of Jerusalem and starved the people into submission. During this oppression, one night, what happened was they surrounded the Jerusalem city, and the king of Judah and his army thought to escape from there and threw a wall in the hole. And what happened? Babylonians saw, you think they will pat their back? No, they killed them, destroyed them, plundered, and slaughtered everyone in that city. Babylon's army entered and raided completely the city, and Jeremiah the prophet saw this terror, and he recorded this terrible event in the book of Lamentations, especially chapter 2. So when you go home, you can read Lamentations chapter 2. It is written very clearly. So when Habakkuk saw this vision, he cried out to God. It did not happen. The Lord just revealed to him, and he cried out to God in chapter 1 of Habakkuk, God, why don't you give us justice and punish these evildoers? That's Babylonians is about to come. How many times we cried out to God in that manner? Lord, punish them. Then in chapter 3, verse 16, Habakkuk was astonished in this vision. Look at verse 16 of Habakkuk 3, our text. When I heard this vision, when I saw this vision, see his expression, my belly trembled, my lips quivered at the voice, rottenness entered into my bones, and I trembled in myself, that I might rest in the day of trouble. Underline that, I must rest in the day of trouble. When he comes upon unto the people, he will invade them with his troops. Habakkuk sees God as a consuming fire, pure and holy. And the last part of Habakkuk, verse 16, should be understood in this manner. I should be resting quietly in the day of my trouble. Brothers, this morning, that's my advice to you. Be at peace, be still, and stand in faith triumphantly, and see what the Lord will do for you. What they have endured during the destruction of Jerusalem was worse than the pain that any of us have experienced. Starvation of young and old, cannibalism of children, massacre of young and old, destruction of Solomon's temple, and apparent end of their country. And when he saw that, he wrote Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17 through 19. I will read it to you quickly one more time. Though the fig tree may not blossom, no fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, verse 18, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Verse 19, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills, standing in faith triumphantly. Let's look at the lessons for living and standing in faith this morning. The number one point, verse 17, he said, I have lost everything. Can you repeat after me? I have lost everything. The economy of Judah at this time was based on exclusively on agriculture and livestock. According to this verse, first three items are mentioned in verse 17, figs, grapes, and olives. Those are permanent crops. And if you look at the next statement there, next item is fields, animal crops, staple foods, and source for most of the calorie supply. So he's telling our permanent crops are gone, our animal crops are gone, and the final two items are flock and cattle, that is sheep and cows. So all their livestock were dead. So do you see what he's saying? I have lost everything. Everything. All the source is gone. All my hard work resulted in nothing. All my income disappeared, and physically, I am not strong. Absolutely, absolute ruin and horrible famine. We might say, I lost my job. I lost my house. I even lost my family. I lost my reputation. I'm not even able to collect my unemployment anymore. I can work, and my disability claim was denied. My checking account is empty now. My retirement funds are depleted. I have lost everything. How could you feel if you knew that whatever you had done would end up as huge failures? I told you, this message came out of 3.5 years of ministry in La Palma. You worked hard for people, ministered, and do not see any fruits. You see the opposite of what you had expected. You feel just like Habakkuk. He ministered to those people and they never responded in faith. You put so much effort and energy into people and they never helped you back. The judgment of the Lord he revealed through Babylonians because the Israelites' hearts were like rock. Remember, God won't overlook ignorance for a long time. He waits patiently, but when his time arrives, that's it. But Habakkuk's situation was worse than anything we can imagine in this country. In Judah, there were no social service agency. There were no homeless shelters. There were no food stamps. And during the destruction of Jerusalem, there were no well-off relatives in a different part of the town. No income for Habakkuk means complete starvation. It means death, first for the weakest in the family, old and young, eventually for everyone. I doubt that anyone here has ever faced the genuine prospect of having a family member starve to death because of lack of income. That's what Habakkuk faced. I have lost everything. But don't let this extremity of these circumstances blind you to their relevance for us today. How does Habakkuk respond in this situation? Look at verse 18. He said, "Yet I will rejoice in God. Even in this midst of all these things, I have lost everything." And he's stepping to the next level and saying, "Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation." Note here, there are two reactions Habakkuk avoided. We fail in that. He did not scream at God in anger. "God, you have no right to destroy me or your people. You are a cruel God." Two, he did not pretend evil wouldn't happen. He did not say, "That's too terrible to think about. I will just relax myself and I will sit in front of the TV and get distracted." He did not say that. "I'll go and watch a movie. But after 2 hours, you will think about the same thing." Same thing we think. If God is so great and powerful, how come I am going through a hard time? Habakkuk knew that was the wrong question and that was the wrong attitude. And Pastor Brian shared about that, the way you respond to that situation. Instead, he says, "The Lord, I know you are strong. Lord, I know you are mighty. If we are in this desolate circumstances, it is because we deserve it. Therefore," he said, "I will rejoice in the Lord, God of my salvation. I will joy in him." God is a never-ending source and bountiful supply of joy. The songwriter wrote like this. It's one of my favorite chorus. "He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me, made everything new. He is my everything. Now how about you?" So Habakkuk is simply saying, "He is my everything. The Lord is my shepherd. Because Lord is my shepherd, I do not need anything else. Because he's my shepherd. He's going to give everything." Today people are trying to buy joy, but it is not found in material things or circumstances. Joy is found in whom? Jesus. And it is available to everyone. You can receive it through an intimate relationship with Jesus. So that when you face the worst circumstances of your life, you will say, "He is the God of my salvation." Can you say amen loudly?
Amen.
And we have other champions in the Bible who face similar circumstances in life, yet they rejoice in their God of salvation. Number one, Job. You know his life. Job chapter 13, verse 15, we read like this: "Though he slay me, yet I will trust in him." And the second one is the three Hebrew men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 through 18. I will read it for you. Just listen to me. They are saying this, proclaiming this famous statement: "Our God whom we serve," what? "He is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace." But I am excited by the next statement: "But if not, we will not serve your gods or the golden image of Nebuchadnezzar." And the next champion is none other than Jesus himself. The words of Jesus in Gethsemane, when he thought about the horrifying agony he was about to face, he prayed, "Father, if it is your will, remove this cup of sorrow from me. But nevertheless, not my will, thy will be done." Amen. Champion, standing in faith triumphantly. In the same way, the response of Habakkuk has inspired men of all generations. A Christian can treasure them when all the earthly prospects fail. Habakkuk not only foresaw the possibility that he could lose everything, that includes every material thing and everyone he loved. In the midst of this, we can find a more moving comment in Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 4. I know you know, that verse. The just shall live by faith. Like Habakkuk, we should not find joy in fig trees. We should not find joy in grape vines. We should not find joy in fields or flocks, because these change and pass away. One cannot put confidence in the temporal, but in a God who is unchanging, a God who is loving, and a God who is trustworthy. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now, looking ahead of the terrors of Nebuchadnezzar's attack, how can Habakkuk continue to stand in faith triumphantly? That's our next point, verse 19. He is saying to us, I could stand in faith because, verse 19 says, I am led here by God himself. He said, first point was, I have lost everything. Verse 17. Second one, yet I will rejoice in the God of my salvation. Number three, he said, I am led here by God himself. Let's read verse 19. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high hills. And this verse explains why Habakkuk could rejoice and stand in faith in the midst of the terrible sufferings he foresaw. Let's look at that verse in deep. Let's skip the first part. The Lord God is my strength. I will explain that in between. But the next one, he will make my feet like deer's feet. If I put it in my words, he has made my feet like the feet of a deer. Who? God. Habakkuk thought of a deer running on the hills. They never lose a step. They never fall. If Habakkuk had lived on this continent, he might have said, like those of a big horn sheep. In the mountains of Montana's Glacier National Park and above the Rocky Mountains, that is between British Columbia to Arizona, you can see big horn sheep. They climb to the uttermost most parts of the mountain, and they run over fields as easily as we would run on the beach. I hope you can run on the beach. Right? How can they do this? Because of their, are you with me? Because of their feet. That's what my statement, right? He has made my feet like the feet of a deer. So they could run fast because of their tough cloven hooves. Their hooves will not get hurt by sharp rocks, but they are able to grip even small projections. God designed their feet for climbing. They don't slip, they don't fall. So note that the point is not the power of the sheep, but the design of the sheep's foot. Habakkuk sees the word, uses the word for a female deer, not a male. Okay? To make this point very clear, the female deer too is able to climb to the highest heights, to run over the rocky fields because of her special feet. So Habakkuk rejoiced that his feet are made like the deer, like the feet of a deer, like the feet of a bighorn sheep, designed by God himself to travel over the most difficult ground in his life. No matter how the rough gets going, Habakkuk will not stumble and fall, because verse 18 says, God himself became his joy, and God himself became his strength, verse 19. Remember, the Lord is with us. And Psalm 119, verse 105 says, his word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Even though it is difficult and challenging, Habakkuk continues to say, look at the next part of verse 19. Not only he made my feet like the feet of a deer, next one, he makes me walk on my high places. NIV translates that God enables me to go on to the heights. Who enables me? God. God enables me. God strengthens me. So it's not me. God strengthens me. Most English translation uses the verbs here, make and walk or enable and go. But in the Hebrew language, there's only one verb and the usual verb for walk with a stem that indicates, listen to me, the subject is caused to do the normal action of the verb. One more time. The subject is caused to do the normal action of the verb. So in this case, the phrase might mean, this is the explanation, God leads me to these high places. He makes me go there even though I don't want to go. Or it might mean, God enables me to walk on places I could not go without his help. God makes me walk the places I cannot go without his help. I think both ideas are present here. Habakkuk is not talking about a pleasant afternoon rock climbing, but he doesn't know that what God has in store for him. He knows the path is very challenging and very dangerous. In that sense, God is leading him to a place he cannot go without his help. God is leading him to that place. Therefore, God is his strength, not the fig trees, not the vines, not the fields, not the flocks, not your job, not your family, not your church. It is God himself. That is the New Testament truth, and that is the great secret of a Christian. God is the strength of my heart, and he's my high tower, so I can run to him at any time. Where do you place your strength this morning? Is it in a God who is strong enough to guide you and help you through your problems, or your strength is in the things that's sinking and that are not reliable? Habakkuk is confident that God will enable him or strengthen him to do what he could never do on his own. And that's why he's joyful. And God led him to this very spot, even though there is pain and difficulty on the way. He knows that God will strengthen him and his people to spiritually walk on the heights, the mountaintop of victories and triumph. The sadness of the prophet was now replaced with happiness and hope. Verse 19. I know this, you know this psalm, Psalm 30, verse 5. Weeping may endure for a night. What comes in the morning? Joy comes in the morning. There is hope and there is happiness in the Lord. But the words here, my high places, just to let you know, are implying to Israel shall be restored to her own land, the land of hills, which are places for safety and of eminence. God alone will accomplish this. Now they are completely taken out of their land, slaves in Babylonia. But God alone will accomplish this, bring them back to a place of safety and eminence. We serve a God who is good. We serve a God who is wise. We serve a God who is in total control, because he knows what he's doing. Amen? Amen. He knows exactly what he's doing. So if the master knows the way, don't worry. He's going to take us through this tunnel. So there are many passages that talk about standing in faith, rejoicing in trials, temptations, persecutions. Passages like Romans 5, Philippians 4, James chapter 1, Hebrews chapter 12, 2 Timothy chapter 4. But there is another passage that I want to focus on, and we will end this study with that. That is Genesis chapter 45. And you know this person, this relates to the person Joseph. I'm going to tie my study, Habakkuk chapter 3, 17 through 19, apply that into the life of Joseph. You remember Joseph at the age of 17, his own brother sold him to slavery. Why? I think partly because his own sin of pride and bragging. But certainly his brothers bear the largest share of the blame. They are most at fault. Imagine that you were Joseph taken into Egypt. And this is Joseph's equivalent of Habakkuk chapter 17. I have lost everything. The failure of all the crops, the death of all the livestock, his own family members almost killed him. And they sold him as a slave. He thinks he will never see his father again. and that he might die at any moment. Or think of Joseph a few years later after he was falsely accused of sexually assaulting his master's wife and is unjustly thrown into a stinging Egyptian prison. Once again, Joseph faces the same Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. I have lost everything. No hope, no escape. What was going through Joseph's mind at these times? We do not know. When we get to heaven, we will ask him. But what would be going through your mind if you were in a similar situation or circumstances? The natural reaction would be to think this is not fair, right? I don't deserve this. I work hard for Potiphar, and now look, even the brothers of mine, if I can ever get back at them. But in all this, Joseph never wavered in his faith. His faith was triumphant. He rejoiced in the God of his salvation. He knew God was at work, and he strengthened himself in his God. He waited patiently for God's timing. Remember, God opened the right door at the right time for Joseph. He waited patiently in that prison. Joseph interprets Pharaoh's dream, and what happened? He's raised to become the highest official in all Egypt. There were 7 years of plenty, and Joseph's stored the surplus. And in the second year of famine, Joseph's brothers appeared before him. To buy what? To buy food. It was more than 20 years after they sold him into slavery. Now Joseph had the opportunity to imprison or to kill all his brothers who sold him into slavery. In his position, he could do this without anyone asking questions. Or without the danger of an attorney general appointing a special prosecutor to investigate him. What did he do? Look at Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45, reading from verse 3 to 5. Genesis chapter 45, reading from verse 3 onwards. And Joseph said to his brethren, I am Joseph. Do what my father yet live? And my brethren could not answer him. And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Verse 4, and Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near. And he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Verse 5, now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourself that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. What a beautiful response to his situation. If you were Joseph, wouldn't you want them to be grieved? Wouldn't you most of naturally want them to feel some pain? A little, 5%? For what they had done? Wouldn't you tempted to say, do you know what you did to me? Right? At least that statement, right? Even if you don't do anything, one statement we will do. Do you know how much you made me suffer? Do you know how many times I thought I was going to die because of your sin? It is time for you to get a taste of that. I was a slave and a prisoner for 13 long years. I want you to know the stench. I want you to know the pain. I want you to know the danger of an Egyptian prison. But Joseph did none of that. Let's keep reading. Genesis chapter 45. One more time, let's read verse 5 through 8. Now therefore, be not grieved nor angry with yourself that you sold me hither, for God's did send me before you to preserve life. Verse 6, for these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall be neither be earing nor harvest. Verse 7, and God sent me, beautiful, before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save you your lives by a great deliverance. Verse 8, so now it was not you that sent me hither, but God, and he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. See, Joseph's life had gone through Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17. I have lost everything. Yet he rejoiced in his God while he was in that prison. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 18. Now he came out into the glory of Habakkuk chapter 19. He knew God was in control and that God led him to Egypt and to the prison experience and finally to the throne of Egypt. His delight was in a sovereign God, a God who takes the evil acts of men and who uses those very evil acts to accomplish his good and wise purpose. Amen. I'm about to conclude, but keep this in mind. Number one, standing in faith triumphantly requires a walk by faith, not by sight. Second one, standing in faith triumphantly means loving God instead of loving God's gifts. Amen? Because Habakkuk sees all those gifts disappear. Fruits, fields, and flocks, everything disappeared. Now the question is, did he love God? Yes. How easy it is for us to love God for his gifts and blessings and become angry when those gifts disappear. There is a great deal of difference between I love you, what you do for me, and I love you. Standing in faith means loving God himself because he is our portion. He is our treasure, and nothing we desire compares to him. Amen. The prophet who began his prayer with a fear and trembling now concludes with the joy and triumph. One more example from the life of Hannah. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 10. I will read it to you. 1 Samuel 1:10 says, Hannah was in bitterness of soul, and she prayed to the Lord and wept in anguish. Habakkuk chapter 17. Then we can see Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 18 and 19. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 18, she concludes her prayer with joy and victory. And we read like this, she went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Faith is that wonderful capacity to trust God and find comfort in him when all the world seems around us crumpled down. Faith is that wonderful capacity. May God enable us to say, even though I lost everything, that's number one. Two, yet I will rejoice in God because God led me to this place. Amen. May God bless us, and let's bow our hearts and pray. Father, we thank you for teaching us the great truth to stand in faith. Everything happens in our life, Lord, according to your plan and your purpose. Lord, help us to stand in faith and lift our eyes to you in the midst of our problems, and help us to remember the God of our salvation. And the God in whom is our strength. And find the answer right in the midst of our affliction. Lord, we ask you to help us this morning. And we pray that you would help us to stand in faith triumphantly. And we give you praise and thank you for the life of Habakkuk and this passage. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. May God bless you.